Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
Today is part three of our message series, I Love My Church, and we are going to get into that here in just a second. Today, though, next week is an exciting week. It is our I Love My Church t-shirt giveaway, and so I get to wear first the 2018 model of the shirt, and anyone who's here next weekend, we give you a free t-shirt if you want one. And so some people have said after, they're really soft too, like they feel better than they look. I think they look good, but they feel even better. It's like one of those t-shirts you want to wear like all the time. It's really, really nice. But somebody said in between the services that they couldn't be here next week. What can I do? I said, well, that's no problem. Just come back the next week and we'll sell them to you for about $75 each and it'll be fine. 2 for $100, it'd be a great deal. So no. They are actually started thinking, I'm going to send a friend to go next week and get a my size shirt since I won't be there. So if that's what you want to do, then that's what you can do. But next weekend, we are going to give those away. We have a limited number of them. And so once they're gone, we'll probably reorder whatever. But I don't know what will happen from there. But I'm excited that we get to give those away next weekend. Last week was our first week on this series. Or 2 weeks ago was our first week. This is our third week. The first week we talked about how we can connect with God. During the first service, I just kind of did something different. I was just worshiping in the back of the auditorium and just kind of minding my own business. And there was a guy standing next to me whose name is Les. And Les is actually the very first person to ever make a decision for Jesus in the history of More Life Church. He made a decision in 2005, and here he was serving in 2018, almost 13 years. It's too early to do math. What is that? That's 13 years, almost 13 years in May that he's been serving Jesus. And I just thought that was awesome. And it's a place where we really want people to connect with God, to be able to make a decision that Jesus is the one that they're going to follow throughout their life. We talked about that. And I love that about this place. I love that this is a place where you and I, we can find freedom and we can grow to become freer and freer every day in Christ. Today I want to talk to you about how we're going to grow to our potential. And it's an important part of the discipleship and journey with Christ is to grow to our potential. And when I was in Bible school, there was an individual who taught one of the courses. And every time I got around him and was in his course, he just made me hungrier and hungrier to know God. And so today, I don't think we're going to answer all your questions. In fact, I know we won't answer all of your questions on how you can grow to your potential. I might create more questions than I answer, but what I hope God does is, I hope God creates a deeper hunger in you than you've ever had before to grow, to be exactly the way He's called you and designed you to be. In the last week, we're going to talk about how to make a difference, and so we'll do that next week, and we will end cap the series that way. And so I want to encourage you that we've set up a four-step process for you to grow to your potential. And it's real four simple things. We want you to partner with us. We want you to discover your God-given design. We want you to develop your leadership, and we want you to join a team. This is what Growth Steps is about. And this idea of growing to your potential, these are very, very strategic steps that we want you to take, that I'm asking you to take with me and with us. Because here's what I believe. I don't believe you can reach your full potential in Christ if you don't partner with a local church. That's how much I believe in the power of a local church, that us partnering together is going to be one of the first steps to you reaching your full potential. I know you cannot reach your full potential unless you discover your God-given design. There is a certain way that God has made you, and you'll never reach your full potential if you don't discover this, and I want to help you discover that. Developing your leadership, you can't grow to that full potential unless you discover it. Don't be thrown off by that word leadership until you develop your influence. And you have influence in all kinds of different areas. Now, one of the things I do is in one of the local schools every Tuesday, I go and I meet with a group of middle school boys. And I'm growing in my influence with them. And they're all seventh graders and they're all boys. And man, I did not know what I said yes to when I said yes. It is like herding cats. I mean, it is an uphill the whole way climb. And I was in over my head. I mean, I was like, the first few weeks, I was very clearly out of my element to the point where the guidance counselor kind of followed up with me. It's like, are you doing okay? I was like, why do you ask? And she said, you just got that look. And I'm like, what look? She's like, I can't explain it, but you got it. It was the, I'm a half a nostril above water look. I don't know what I'm doing look. You know what I'm talking about? And I didn't know. I was ready to quit. And I'm not a quitter, but I was ready to quit. I was ready to throw in the towel and just say, I'm just not the right person. And what I realized was I had to develop my influence with them. And so what I did was, and my influence was simply to speak up, help them find their voice. See, so often I think leadership is misunderstood. It isn't about an amplification of one person's voice. It's about getting the group to amplify their voice with one mighty sound in unity, saying, here's what we're going to go after together, because we all kind of believe that this is the best thing to do. And it's not just one item. It's just a resounding, overarching theme to lift people to a higher level. And so I kind of asked some questions of them. And this doesn't have anything to do with the notes. I'll get to it in a minute. But I was really struggling. I was like wanting to get into their world. And so I found this theme that they started talking about in the group that we had. And I said, if you guys could solve one problem in your local school, what is the problem that you would solve? Like, what's the biggest thing that you are struggling with? I asked him that question, and I was not prepared for the answer. They said, if we could fix one thing, if we could solve one thing, if we could make everyone in here do the same thing, here's what we would do. We would make it so that everyone treats one another with respect and kindness. And they started telling me about the stories of people bullying them and being mean to them and being mean to one another. And so we started on a journey, and I developed this for them. Now I'm trying to help them. And so here's what they're doing right now as we speak. Check this out. This is like my volunteer world. I love this, but here's what they're working on right now. Right now they are working on a 60 to 75 second video that they hope will go viral to convince kids to take a pledge to no longer treat one another harshly with their words. And they're doing it. And they're going after it. See, but listen, all of us need to step up our game. We all have pockets of areas where we can influence. And that's what we want to help you do here. Lastly, because I want you to be on the team. My goal, really, forget that. Forget about my goal. God's goal is that all of us are in the game and on the team. That means every one of us find our place, find our role, and are doing something. And so many people are asking, how do we connect? How do we get on a team? How do we do it? And this is exactly how you do it. So on Sunday, March 4th at 5:30, I want you to come. Even if you can't be all four consecutive, come. And I want to help you. We want to help you take these steps, all right? And so if you're watching online, this is not just for the physical campus. This is for the virtual campus as well. I would love to meet you for the very first time in this room as we go through Growth Steps. So please, there'll be a link in the thread, and I'd love to meet you. Our online campus is growing. In fact, 2 weekends ago, it would have been the single largest service that we had collectively if they were all here in the building together. So it is a fourth service that's happening through the medium of technology and video. So we would love to have you join us. So let's get into the verses. Y'all ready? If you're ready, let me hear you say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Okay, let's go. Let's get after it. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says this. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He's wanting us to be wise and understanding in our decision making for a purpose so that we can know him better. We talked about that in week one, so that we can connect with him. We can know who he is in a greater degree. I pray, he says, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. One translation says focused and clear. We talked about that last week, that to find freedom, we have to do that in groups, but it's all for a purpose. Watch. Paul says this, I'm praying all this in order that you may know the hope to which he, God, has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. He continues the prayer, but for the sake of this week, we're going to pause and look at this. Let me look at it from a different translation. Here's what Paul says in the Message. I pray that you can see exactly what it is that he, God, is calling you to do. That's what Paul's praying for the church at Ephesus. And this is a prayer that I pray over our church all of the time. I pray that you'll be able to see exactly what it is that God has called you to do, because God has called each and every one of you to do something for him. And Paul's prayer is, I pray that you discover that. I pray that God shows that to you. And that's the purpose of today, is to show you exactly how to find what God has called you to do. I want you to say something out loud with me. If you're watching online, say this out loud in the room or the car or wherever you might be today. Say this out loud. Say, I have a calling.
I have a calling.
Now turn to your neighbor and say, I'm called. Go ahead and tell them. Now turn to somebody different and say, I'm still looking for evidence of that. No, don't do that. Don't do that. But we all have a calling. It isn't just the person on the platform up front. It's something that God has embedded into all of his people. We all have a calling. I pray, he says, that you might experience and know that calling. So let me go through something that I think would be a little bit fun, but it'll serve a purpose. I saw this on Amazon, and this is a banana slicer. All right? But I want to read to you a review of this banana slicer. All right? It's a 1-star rating. And the title is, Angle is Wrong. I tried the banana slicer and found it unacceptable. As shown in the picture, the slicer is curved from left to right. All of my bananas, however, are bent the other way. Let me ask a question. Anything wrong with this product, guys? No, there's nothing wrong with that product, right? Right. Okay. Let's go to the next one. This is a steering wheel desk. That's a bad idea, right? This person gave it a 3-star rating, and the title is "Not So Good as a Baby Changing Table." It's a real review. I read some 4- and 5-star reviews by those who use this device successfully to change a baby while driving. On that basis, I bought one. This is a lot of crazy going on in this paragraph. Can I just pause and say, someone looked at this and saw that someone changed a baby while driving a car, and their response was, that's a good idea, I want one. We live in a crazy world, y'all. So they go on, I bought one, I put my baby on it and drove for an hour. It did not change. I still have the same baby. It gets worse. I am glad it worked for some people, but I will be returning mine. This is an actual label from a piece of clothing, and at the bottom it says this, can be washed by both men and women. Share the load. Come on, where are the ladies? You got to give me some love for that one now, y'all. I got to get some love for that one. Now, a few weeks ago, I talked to you about this idea, and I found it for you in a graphic form. This is the actual patent of the toilet paper and what its use was meant for in terms of application. This is actual patent number 459516, which was patented on September 15th, 1891. And the creator of the toilet paper roll, their original design meant for the toilet paper to go over, not under. Oh, I think I got Pentecostal one here on that one, y'all. Like, oh, yeah, I'm fired up, y'all. Get going. All right. So this will settle it once and for all. At least you can see the evidence of what the original creator's idea was for this product. The creator of this product had a specific purpose in mind for it, and that purpose should be the highest weight of credibility that we give to any product. Similarly, you and I have been given a purpose in life by our Creator, and His original idea for us is the best one. Whether anybody else in the world puts you over the role instead of under or not, His purpose is still the one that should be the leading edge of our motivation. And He does have a purpose for you. Whether anyone has acknowledged it, whether anyone celebrates it, the original author of your life before you came into existence, the Bible said, He thought it through and He gave you a purpose and a mission, and He's given you the power to succeed in that life ambition. And we're going to talk about how exactly do you find that, because Paul Scanlon says this: the older you get, the more intentional you must become about growing. I don't think that needs a lot of explanation, but I would say this, that the older I get, the more I realize that if I could go back and do certain things over again now, I would have a much better outcome knowing what I know now than knowing what I knew then. How many of you have ever been getting ready in the morning and had a secondhand embarrassment or cringeworthy moment that your memory creates in your life, and you kind of rewind to a moment in time and you're like, oh my, I wish I would never want to replay that over again. In other words, how many of you would agree that if you had another shot at life in some areas, you know you could do it with a better outcome this time? Yeah. You could, but the older we get, the more intentional we have to become about growing and developing ourselves. And life presents two challenges, and Jesus presents them to us in this verse of Scripture in your notes. You ready? Here's what He says: whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He's just saying, this life involves sacrifice. Yeah. It's not the easy walk. It's not the walk for the weak. This is the walk and the path for the strong. It's going to cost you something. It's free, but it costs. It's free for the initial receiving of it, but then there's a regular and perpetual sacrifice and giving away. And He explains it, and He says, whoever finds their life, they will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake, they'll find it. And so He outlines two challenges, and I want to break them down for you in your notes. Here's the two challenges of life according to Jesus in this verse. Number one, to find yourself. To find yourself. And number two, to lose yourself. And now, this is one of those biblical paradoxes. This is one of those things that clash and make your mind melt and tilt and your brain steam. Wait a minute, Jesus, you're telling me I have to find myself, but then you're telling me I have to lose myself, and when I find myself, then I actually lose it? Like, it doesn't make any sense. But if you look at it with the new lens, it actually makes perfect sense, because you cannot lose something you never found. In other words, if you don't know where the keys are, you can't lose them. You've got to find a thing, possess a thing, hold that thing before it can actually be lost, given away, misplaced. And Jesus says our whole life is going to encounter this challenge of finding and losing, finding and losing, finding and losing. And so I thought I'd ask a couple of questions. How do we find ourselves? That's the first thing. So if He says this is the challenge, then getting to our purpose must mean we have to understand our potential, and our potential means we have to understand our purpose. And so here's what the proverb writer says. He says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. In other words, we can have all kinds of ideas for our life. We can write down all kinds of plans. We can have all kinds of things that we want to do in our heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that is going to actually be the thing that God helps us to accomplish. So we can set up all this stuff, but how do we find ourselves? It's just like this. Discover God's purpose for your life. You want to reach your potential? You got to discover God's purpose for your life. Now, this is a discovery, which is a daily thing. It's a process. And you can't get to your purpose unless you go through a process. And that process is not always enjoyable, but the discovery of God's purpose for your life is in the first step in how you find yourself, how you find that purpose and potential. And discovery is a great process. I would liken it to going to like on an African safari. And in an African safari, I've never been, but I think it'd be amazing to go on an African safari and to be in that Jeep that's well protected, but in the Jeep and going through that area and having to have a guide to help you find certain things that you're looking for, as opposed to a zoo, how many of you would say is a very different experience? Even if you've never been on both, you can see it's a very different experience. In the zoo, it's there. You don't have to go in its natural habitat. It's just there. And the discovery of who we are is a lot like a safari in that it isn't just clear cut. There isn't markings on the trail. It's an unblazed trail that we have to find and pursue. It doesn't just happen. That's why Paul said, I pray that you would know exactly what you're called to do, that you could see exactly what you're called to do. Here's two questions that I believe are important to ask ourselves in order to find that purpose. And you never reach your potential unless you find the purpose. Number one is, what am I passionate about? This is a question we have to ask ourselves. I gave you some extra notes because you're not going to get to a full conclusion on this right now. But what are you passionate about? When's the last time you asked yourself that question? It seems like we live in a world that curtails passion. It curtails energy and activity. It kind of has a parenting theme attached to it. As a parent, we have four kids. My wife and I, we had four children in 35 and a half months. That means we had four in diapers. They were, right now, if I'm getting this right, 18, 18, 16, and 15. And so when we were raising them, we were not interested in what they were passionate about. We were just interested in peace and quiet. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we just relax. Like, give me some. But we live in a world that kind of does that. It makes us docile. It doesn't accept what we're passionate about. But I would submit to you that without passion, you'll never find your potential and you'll never find your purpose. So what am I passionate about? And here's a couple things that'll help you find it. Passion is what carries you when energy is faded. It's kind of my definition, that it's what carries me when energy is faded. When I'm tired and exhausted, this is the thing that causes me to get up and go after it when everything else would keep me in bed. It's the thing that I'll make plans to do. I'll hit the ground running for. It's what I have to have in my life. See, it's what sets me apart from everybody else. It sets me apart from others. What am I passionate about? I want you to ask yourself that question over the next couple days. What are you passionate about? And like, let me help you. In order for it to be spiritual, it doesn't have to fit in a normal box of what you're comfortable with. Like some of you are like, well, there's like, you're like trying to, you're trying to filter what you're passionate about through a Bible verse. And let me just give you a break. You don't have to do that today. Like, you don't have to say, well, what I'm really passionate about is the seven seals found in the book of Revelation, and have the feeling of, if I'm not passionate, if you are, that's great. But if you aren't, that's okay too. Some people are like, well, the only thing I can be passionate about is something I find in Scripture. Well, it should be scriptural. It's okay. But let me ask you this. Could you reach someone if you were passionate about, say, chocolate chip cookies? You could reach me, guys, if you were passionate about chocolate chip cookies. I just don't want you to what's the word, to edit it ahead of time. Just ask yourself the question and filter it later, you know, because so many people, I heard a story about an individual that they were in fact passionate about chocolate chip cookies. And they started bringing those cookies to this ball team and giving these chocolate chip cookies to this ball team. And I don't know how God does what he does, but he got involved in their passion to bake and to serve a team, and God got involved in it and started changing some of these high school team members' lives. And one of the individuals came to the person baking them, said, the only people who ever care about me and talk to me want to talk to me about the sport I play. You've never asked me about the sport I play. All you've ever done is brought me cookies. And that told me you cared about me, not what I do. See, our passion can lead us in a right direction. It can also lead us in a very bad direction. But listen, we're talking about giving that passion to God. How do we find ourselves? Ask yourself, what am I passionate about? Next, what are my gifts? What are my gifts? I know I'm not going to have time for this, so I have to keep moving. But I gave you some things in there about your gifts. And let me just say this. In step two of our growth steps, we will walk you through two really good processes and assessments free of charge, a free resource to you, to help you find your gifts in Scripture. A gift from God that you can see in Scripture that then you can use in turn to bless and encourage the people around you. See, without passion and without gifts, you'll never ever recognize your purpose. But once you begin to see, oh, I'm gifted to do this, I'm passionate about that, then it starts pointing you toward a purpose, and that's the beginning of finding yourself. So let me help you with that. Now, the last question, here we'll finish. How do we lose ourselves? Jesus says this in Mark chapter 8, verse 35. Only those who throw away their lives for my sake and for the sake of the good news will ever know what it means to really live. So here's what Jesus says. He says, the only way to reach your potential, the only way to grow to your potential is once you've found that thing, now you should start giving it away to others. Just let me give it away. Just give it away to somebody else around me. How do I lose myself? Give your purpose to something bigger than you. Give your purpose to something bigger than you. I want to close with this story that many of you know. You can put your notes off to the side. Let me just bring this thing down for a close. How do you lose yourself? You give your purpose to something bigger than you. We all know the story of David and Goliath. I would guess we all would. And so I want to read a portion of that. Just before David goes on the battlefield to face Goliath, he gets in an argument with one of his older brothers. And here's what the verse says. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. Eliab got mad at David. I told Daniel earlier this week, I don't think Eliab was as much mad at David as he was mad at his own dad for naming him Eliab. How many would be mad if that was you? Take me. He was just angry. And honestly, you got to watch about taking other people's anger personally in all seriousness, because often it's not about you. It's about something else. And that's what was going on here. His older brother's anger wasn't about David. It was about something else. Here's what it was about. It was about David giving himself his purpose to something bigger than him. He goes on, and his brother says, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? Real derogatory. Just being nasty and cynical. Where's the sheep, boy? You're a shepherd. Who'd you leave the sheep with? Who gave you permission to leave home? Does daddy know you gone? Just needling him. I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And watch what David says. What did I do now? What have I done? Now, is there not a cause? Then he, David, turned from him, his brother, toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. I'm going to come back to it. Just stay with me for just a second. But before this day, David's a lonesome shepherd in the back 40 of daddy's property. And God gets into his world and says, I got bigger plans for you than what you know. I got bigger plans. And during that training time of being a shepherd, he was an active part of the protection of the sheep that his dad gave him oversight of. He saved those sheep out of the paw of a lion and the mouth of a bear. Did all kinds of things to save and prepare for this day. And so he gets to this moment. And here's what David's up against. David's up against a purpose and a calling in his heart that's bigger in its expression than he's ever seen up until this moment. And he has in front of him something larger, figuratively and literally, bigger than he's ever faced in his entire life. Something that trained warriors are afraid of. Something that the whole nation is worried about. See, David could have said, man, I got a nice job in a safe, secure environment. Everybody lets me alone. I just get to do my thing. See, he had a career. But what God was moving him toward was a calling. See, when your purpose is bigger than you, that's when God moves you out of your career and into your calling. I'm not asking anybody to quit their job, but I'm just telling you that that career is only one part of your purpose. And the reason that many of you have a dissatisfaction, a holy dissatisfaction inside of you, is because you're trying to fulfill your purpose in a career when the only way you'll ever fulfill your God-given purpose is to act out the intention of the creator of your design. See, you'll never get there. What David knew was, there's something on the inside of me that says there's something greater than what I've experienced. And I've already faced the lion. I've already faced the bear. I know God's going to help me take down this giant. And I want to read something to you. It's from a guy named Mark Batterson. And in his book, Chase the Lion, he says this: in every dream journey, there comes a moment when you have to quit living as if the purpose of this life is to arrive safely at death. You have to go after a dream that is designed to fail without divine intervention. See, when you give your purpose to something bigger than you, you don't run from your giant, you run toward your giant. When you give your life to something that's bigger than you, when you give your life completely to God and say, God, I want to know exactly what it is that you're calling me to, you don't run from the problem, you run to the problem. You don't run from the mountain, you run to the mountain. You don't run away from the lion, you go after it. You say, God, I will not be satisfied until every plan and purpose that you dreamed of for my life is complete and fulfilled. And I don't care how it looks. I don't care if it's impossible. I don't want to live in the realm of possibilities. I want to live in your realm, God, where you make the impossible possible. I don't want to just live and do what I can make happen. I want to live and breathe in a world that demands that you intervene in my life every single day. And I will not stop until I have a full grasp of that purpose for my life. I will not quit. I will not stop because of something that looks bigger than life. I just want to live in a place that says, God, your purpose for me is much larger than anyone could ever imagine. And God, I want you to use me to fulfill that purpose in my community. And I will give every breath to you until I see it come to pass in my life and in the life of those that you've sent me to. Yes. Right? Like, but here's what I promise you. Your potential and your purpose is on the other side of a battle. It will not come without resistance. It will not come to the passive heart. The passive heart will never know the fullness of the purposes of God. Your potential is on the other side of that next battle. Somebody's like, I'm just in a fight, and you feel like God's given up on you. No, 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 listen. God is using that. I'm not saying he brought it or caused it. I'm saying he's using it to get you to your full potential. It cannot stop you when you are living in the fullness of the purpose that God has for your life. Give your purpose. I'm begging you. Give your purpose to something bigger than yourself. And you'll know what it means to reach your potential. Bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm out of time. How do we do this? The answer is simple. giving your life to God. Giving your life to Him. Not in the sense that you might think if you've been in church a while that says, well, I know what it means to be a Christ follower. No. I get that from many of you. Some of you might not, but some of you, many of us do. Well, what I'm talking about is you saying, God, you have everything. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you would, everybody all over, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, just lift a hand or two to God, if you would. Just right where you are. Everybody, just all of us, let's do that together. Just lift a hand or two to Him. Just leave it there for a second. We're just going to give. I'm going to just pray over you with your hands lifted. Father, we just give ourselves to you. We ask you to fall in this place, to rest on us. Give us strength. Give us vision. Give us courage. Give us wisdom and understanding. Lord, I just pray over each person that they see exactly what it is that you've called them to do. And that we don't have to shy away from it. We don't have to pull back. When we start dreaming with you and it looks bigger than what we think we can accomplish, Lord, we're just gonna move toward that thing. We're not gonna run away from it. Because you put these things in our lives as a reminder that we cannot do it on our own. That you are with us, you never leave us, you never forsake us, and you help us. Lord, thank you for doing these things and so many more. It's in Jesus' matchless name we pray. If you agree with that, let me hear you shout amen. Can we just celebrate?
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.